This is an ABC podcast.
Sometimes you really have to pinch yourself. Is this real or am I dreaming? I'm standing at the bow of a 220-foot super yacht. As the deep blue of the Mediterranean churning white beneath me as we run from Nice towards Monaco. I'm leaning into the wind, hands on the rail. It's a bit like that bit in the Titanic movie, but warmer with less Kate Winslet and no hair. The French Riviera. It's slipping by to port. My head is full of thoughts of billionaires, tax havens, of old money, new money, great big Scrooge McDuck bins of money. And all of it tax-free. Monaco, it's a place of no limits.
Attention, passengers.
I'm Jonathan Green. This is Return Ticket, the show that takes you on journeys of the mind to the near and the far flung, searching for what the tourist never sees. In coming episodes, we'll explore Dublin by book, find reality in Fiji, and wrestle with the sleeplessness of Seattle. Right now, let's take on Monaco. Morning, Captain Scott. How are the conditions? Looks a beautiful day.
It's actually a perfect Mediterranean day. The wind is laid down, the water is nice and smooth, and the sky is clear enough. If you look out the port window, you could see the glaciers on the Alps.
How long to Monaco, do you think?
About 40 minutes.
I'm Gilligan to your skipper.
Well, you know, you're not the first one, I can tell you that. I just turned 70, and I've been on the sea mostly about 40, 50 years. I've trained a lot of Gilligans, to say the least.
Psst. Hey, hello there. Yes, you listening. Sorry, I mean, you were here on this yacht with me. If you're wondering who Captain Scott is... Don't worry, we're in good hands. He's a lifelong sailor who's run private yacht charter businesses in the Caribbean and other wealthy enclaves. He's also the host of a podcast called The Offshore Explorer, which covers the stupid amounts of wealth in Monaco. Oh, speaking of, Scott, how are we getting to Monaco from here? What's the sea path?
Most people that do yachting sometimes start in Antibes, which is really the epicenter of the charter boat industry and yachts.
Tell us about this boat. It's a beautiful thing.
I used to drive back in the day, 225-foot Fed ship that had a helicopter on the back of it. And yes, it did. Pain in the ass having a helicopter, I can tell you that. It's for a captain, it's the biggest pain in the butt. People always ask me about the gold fixtures. Are these real gold? And they're coated, but the reason we like gold fixtures on the boat is because salt water will do in chrome and will do in stainless steel and fixtures like that.
What's it costing us to moor this yacht here?
Ooh, well, in season, out of season, it's very hard depending on the size of it. You know, the price is by size. Probably for this boat, it would be $7,000-$8,000 a day, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Monaco reminds me of the English writer Somerset Maugham. Didn't he say this place was a sunny place for shady people?
Oh, yeah. Well, I know a lot of shady people in Monaco. There's a class of people that are trying to make deals with very rich people. And I mean, some of these guys come in there with like yachts, huge yachts, and they're trying to impress. And they're trying to make deals. They're just about as crooked as they can come. I remember when, you know, Soviet Union fell, there were Russians walking around with suitcases full of cash, walking up, and this happened to me, Russian guy just walked up to the back of the boat to the passerelle and asked me how much the boat was, that he wanted to buy it right now. I had to explain to him in so many words that that's kind of not how it works.
And he said...
He said, money here, cash, I have cash. I said, no, go see this guy over here, he'll help you. And but they're not the first group of people to show up with cash on the barrel to buy boats.
Hello to you, giant cruise ship. Ooh, Scott, as we approach Monaco, what do we see?
There's an outcropping, a peninsula called Cap Ferrat. It's very famous. It's the second most expensive residential area in the world. They're filled with people. They're celebrities. Elton John has a house there. The Rothschilds were the first ones who started there. Tina Turner has a house there. It's just like Celebrity Row. And there's some big houses, some beautiful hotels. And for the most part, it's a great place to walk around.
Is the sea traffic pretty hectic coming in here?
It can be. You know, it depends what time of year you come into Monaco. Like, for example, Formula One is huge, and the traffic is ridiculous. And fighting to get a spot is one of the most complicated and year-long events that a captain has to do. But, you know, Monaco is also accessible in a very kind of cool way by train. The French transit system is fantastic. So you can take a train right into the center of Monaco, and it's all underground. A lot of people do this to come to visit Monaco because most of the town is in the mountains. And so these elevators and shopping malls are all kind of caves that you can walk in and out of, and little plazas that are all up and down the mountain. There's the harbor, and then it goes literally straight up on almost all sides to the mountain. So when you're on a boat in the center of the harbor, you just look up at everything.
So much wealth out there, sort of moored in the harbor, though.
Monaco is one of these places that's always been wealthy. And it's a different sort of historical narrative of extremely wealthy people, princes, royalty, kings, business people, all flocking to Monaco to be amongst their peers. And Monaco's been that way for hundreds of years. And it still is that way in a very sort of interesting dichotomy. People come who are very, very wealthy, especially new wealth. They'll come and they'll think they're the hot cat in town, when in fact, there's like a 16-year-old girl walking down the street whose trust fund is since the 17th century. And it's got so much money, nobody even counts their money anymore. It's that kind of wealth.
Yeah, the next hot cat in town, he says. Could that be me? Why can't I do that? I do work for the national broadcaster, don't I? Mm. As I gaze out on the turquoise waters before me, I can see how this lifestyle entices. I too could be the next fintech or Fitspo influencer or a digital nomad with six figures to my name, maybe more. But just how to do that on the company card? Hmm. Or I could pull an Anna Delvey. You remember her, don't you? The Russian scammer who posed as a wealthy heiress in New York's high society. There's a thought. It does make me wonder about the lengths that people go to join this world. And for what? Monaco's one of the world's most densely populated countries. It's a principality smaller than New York's Central Park. A place, it's no larger than 0.78 square miles. But I guess when you've got oodles of money, Monaco, the place, isn't exactly the object here. It's the idea underpinning it. And in Monaco, there's no such thing as income or capital gains tax. To access that, you have to pay to play, like pay a whole lot. Isn't that right, Scott?
It's expensive to be a citizen in Monaco. To get a passport, then you have to put at least 500,000 euros in the bank and then buy a property that you put down at least another 500 to a million. Then you apply for citizenship. You can't go to Monaco and work.
So who are the ordinary working people in Monaco? Where are they from?
They're from Monaco. They live in Monaco. People who are gardeners, shop owners, mechanics. I mean, there's just a whole world of people who live there. It was like you would have, in your town, except there's this cloak of ridiculous wealth hanging over you. But for the most part, the people who take care of the restaurants and the gardens and the craftsmen and their sons, soccer players and all kinds of people live there. A lot of Formula One drivers live there. Lewis Hamilton, Michael Schumacher, Nico Rosberg lives there. They all have residence there because of the free taxes there.
Well, Scott, I could see the appeal. Thank you, Captain Scott. Not a moment to lose.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. Been a pleasure.
Ah, we're pulling into the marina now. Monaco, here I come. Monaco, it's a driver's city. Of course it is. It's the site of one of the world's most famous Grand Prix, a place where speed and Monaco's steep topography combine to create roads with dizzying tensions. Look at the city just whizzing by. That's the Monaco Casino. Yes, the one from James Bond. Ah, and that glittering harbour. Those tunnel pylons, best to avoid those. Oh, the speed of this thing. I've rented a sports car for the day, there we go. That was the Fairmont hairpin, an incredibly tight corner that's caught out, many Formula One drivers. I should note that I'm doing the speed limit here and my line was perfect. It's just that this car, it sounds scarier than it is. But, you need stylish wheels when you got a date at the yacht club. It's the end of summer, and in Monaco, that means just one thing, the 4 billion euro Monaco Yacht Show. It's been running since 1991, redefining the very idea of just what makes a super yacht super. I need a guide to all of this wealth of maritime profusion. I'm about to dine with a journalist who understands the glamorous life.
Hello, Jonathan.
Ah, I'm here to meet Rupert.
We have a table for two overlooking the marina here.
Hi, Jonathan. I'm Rupert Nee, the Guardian's wealth correspondent.
Ah, Rupert, hi. A wealth correspondent. Well, I'm sure Monaco keeps you busy. You come here often?
It's where a lot of my clients, I suppose, as you call them, people I write about, a lot of them hang out in Monaco. So there's quite often reason to go there and sort of track them down.
So as a place for the fabulously wealthy to hang out, where does Monaco rate?
Quite highly, if probably arguably the top place for them to hang out. It's the top place for them to officially live. Maybe they're not there all the time because it is very small and a bit soulless and a bit boring, but they all like to live there because it's in Europe and it's zero taxes of any kind. The only tax there is VAT.
Let's talk about that because even for someone as pathetically not wealthy as me, zero tax sounds like a very tempting option. How did that happen?
So it came about because, Monaco is a principality dating back a long time. So it's surrounded by France, but it's officially a different country. So it can set its own rules. And as with lots of these little tiny countries, having low taxes is the way that they survive and thrive because they can attract rich people from around the world who don't want to pay very much tax. You officially have to spend 180 nights in Monaco to classify for zero tax.
Is that in total or per annum?
per year. So, like, just over half the year.
As you say, it's a small place, and the fabulously wealthy, do they want to spend 6 months of the year in Monaco?
It's hard to know how the authorities know that they've spent that many nights there. But, I mean, if you've got loads of money, I suppose it would be all right staying there. And you've got your super yacht in the harbour. You could go to Italy for the day. You could go to Saint-Tropez and then come back. That's not terrible life, is it?
Not a terrible life by any stretch, no. Okay, so we're here. The annual yacht show. Sailing is, you know, boats are very much a part of the culture here.
It is a key reason that Monaco has become what it is. It's got a giant natural harbour that they have extended a lot, Port Hercule, and that is where all these super yachts are.
It must be incredibly competitive. I imagine these would be such figures of status and envy.
Yeah, I feel it's a way that billionaires like show off to each other, like, I've got this 100 meter super yacht, what have you got? And talking to some of the brokers that sell these yachts, they say that, you know, they start someone off on like a 60 meter yacht, get them into it, and then they constantly want to upgrade and get one with a beach club, one with a massage room, one with a submarine sort of attachment so you can go diving.
Here we are, Port Hercule, and so much to see, so many boats, so much beauty. If I was looking for a drink with a view, Rupert, where would you suggest?
I don't know. It depends how big your wallet is. How much have you got on expenses?
I'm on very limited expenses.
That's a shame because, you know, I went for a beer the other night and it was 18 euros. But, you know, the Monte Carlo Bay Hotel and Resort has a great bar if you're going to splash out.
I'll try and hit the happy hour. Rupert, thank you.
No worries. Nice to talk to you.
So, I found my way to the bar of the Monte Carlo Bay Hotel, as per Rupert's recommendation. A hotel is perched on the edge of a tiny peninsula overlooking Monaco's waterfront skyline. The building itself, it's a marriage between a Wes Anderson film and the resorts you'll find in White Lotus. It's pastel-coloured buildings that conjure a giant wedding cake. And look, this Monaco may not be to your taste, but it certainly is for Monaco's ruling Grimaldi royal family. They've promoted buildings like this for decades. Their fate and the fate of the principality itself has been tied to the spaces that capture the disposable income of the world's mega rich. Unfortunately, but not surprisingly, Monaco's Grimaldi royal family declined to speak with me despite repeated requests.
Hey, Grimaldi family. Jonathan Green here from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. We've got to talk.
Look, I tried. At least I can tell you about them. The Grimaldi influence and significance in this principality is strong. Their reign began all the way back in 1297. That's pedigree. But today, well, there's a diversity of a sort in this place and its population of 38,300. The tax exiles, the tourists, the people who come here to escape, and the people who eke a living from the rich around them. And to really understand Monaco, I wanted to meet an outsider who's now on the inside. What's it actually like to live in this millionaire's playground? Manila is an outsider on the inside. Born in the north of Italy with Filipino heritage, she spent her childhood between Italy and the Philippines. She's agreed to meet me here at the bar of the Monte Carlo Bay Hotel. The best champagne on the list, by the way, is a Jeroboam of vintage Moët and Chandon for, well, a tidy 1,200 euros. That's $1,854.18 in Australian. So, what does she think of this place?
So, my name is Manila Giovanni. I'm the founder and the CEO of D-World, a startup based in Monaco.
Manila, hi. What a place. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's a good place here in Monaco. It's managed by SBM, which is the main enterprise here in Monaco. They handle the main five-star hotels, and Monte Carlo Bay is one of them.
Ah, yes. I've read about SBM. In English, it's got a hefty name, the Society of Sea Baths and Circle of Foreigners in Monaco. Interesting. It's a majority government-owned company that runs all the big sites here, the casino, the opera house, and this hotel. There's a lot of five-star hotels here in Manila. I guess that's normal.
Well, Monaco is sort of known as being like a luxury hub, but now they are trying to focus more on digital innovation. So that's why I decided to base myself here and try to help them in that transition.
So what did you think about Monaco before you moved here? You moved here in 2018. Well, how did the place form itself in your mind before that?
My dad was explaining me about the benefits of the studying in Monaco to eventually also open my business and also the opportunities that could derive from studying there and living there. So originally it's just weird because I had no clue of what it was meaning, like where Monaco was, because in Italian Monaco means Munich, like in Germany.
That would be a terrible mistake to make.
Yes. And, you know, I was thinking cold Munich, rainy Munich. Plus, I don't speak German. But then when I arrived, everything was different from my expectations.
In what way was it different?
In general, you have a lot of diversification among the students. I shouldn't complain about my family status, but you know, I am grown in a way that I am also humble. So coming from my mom's background as well, in Monaco, everything was super concentrated. Let's say
it's an expensive place to live. When you arrived, was that a difficult thing?
Well, originally I had to get used to the price differences. So yes, the prices are very high, as you can see drinking your cocktail here in Monte Carlo Bay.
Yes. It's a lovely cocktail, but it doesn't come cheap.
Well, I'm having an alcoholic, and the price, it's not that different.
pardon, monsieur, are you Jonathan Green?
Oh, bonjour. Yes, that's me. Why do you ask?
You have a call in the lobby. It is someone from ABC.
Oh, okay. Look, I'm sorry, Manila, but you'll have to excuse me. Thanks for the cocktail.
Jonathan.
Sorry, who?
It's Glenda. Glenda from ABC Finance.
Oh.
Now, someone seems to have put a few unauthorized charges to an ABC account. 10,000 euros for car hire, 8,000 euros for a yacht, and in the last few minutes, a few hundred euros at the Monte Carlo Bay Hotel. Would this be you, Jonathan?
Bonjour. Welcome to the Monte Carlo Bay Hotel.
Jonathan.
The number you've called is disconnected.
Quick, cancel his card right now.
Ah, Monaco. It's a place of extremes where tax exiles dodge debts at sea. And you can see why. As Rupert said, who wouldn't want a floating home that transports you to Italy or Saint-Tropez for the day? A life perpetually unmoored from the concerns of people on land. Psst, I'm just about to become one. Don't tell Auntie. Monaco. It's a place where there are yachts and the have-nots. I just need to find the right yacht to let me in. But really, I mean, what's not to like? Monaco, a place with no limits. You've been listening to Return Ticket, this time in Monaco, and no ABC credit cards were sacrificed in the making of this program. You heard from Scott Dodgson, Robert Neat, and Manila DiGiovanni. Producers are Hayley Crane and Alan Whedon. Technical production and musical theme by Brendan O'Neill. Executive producer Rhiannon Brown. If you enjoyed this show, do tell your friends. Until next time, I'm Jonathan Green.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.
Hi, I'm Patricia Karvelas.
And I'm Fran Kelly.
Every week we invite you to join us on The Party Room.
Massive for the government, right?
The hottest ticket in town in the nation's capital.
But there's a big but.
You'll hear all the insights
and a little bit of gossip
on all the big stories in Canberra.
Both sides have a lot riding on this. They won't concede it, but in their behaviour is the concession.
The Party Room Podcast on the ABC Listen app.